song that we sang was, PJ, bless you for leading out. And it said, I'm running to your arms. And then it also said, there's nothing compares to your embrace. That's beautiful. And you know, there is nothing that compares to when you as an individual run to the arms of the Father and you get a hug from somebody that loves you with an everlasting love. That's what it was talking about. Us choosing to run to the arms of the Father and experiencing that embrace is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's there, and He's waiting for you. If you haven't experienced it, run to the arms of the Father and experience it. Because it's reality. His love is there. The embrace that your Heavenly Father gives you is something that no earthly person can give you. With that pure, that genuine, that much care in a hug. So the title of the message this morning is, Where Did That Come From? And we're going to be looking at a story in Scripture of a person that did something completely opposite. Like one time he said one thing, the other time he said completely something else. And so we're going to start with that. So turn your Bibles to, I can get it here, to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at this story and see what we can learn here from Matthew. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 16. And what's the deal here with this thing? It's got to get a little higher somehow. All right. That's a little better. Matthew chapter 16. And so we're going to look at this. And we're going to look in. We're going to start in verse. I'm going to start in verse 13. That'll give us a little bit of a background of what's going here on here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, son of Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Okay, so what we have here, we have Jesus and we have the disciples. And Jesus asked a question, "Who do people say that I am?" And so they gave an answer. And then he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He nailed it. And Jesus says, "That didn't come from you, Peter. That didn't come from you. It says flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed it to you." So Peter spoke something that didn't come from him. It came from God. Now let's keep reading. From that time on, verse 21, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed. On the third day, he's going to be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross and follow me. For Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels. Then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth. Some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. Now, I don't know how much time it was from verse 20 to 21. But we just have how Peter said, Jesus asked a question. Peter said, "You're the Christ." Jesus says, "That didn't come from you. That comes from your heavenly Father." And then this is the same guy. This is Peter. Verse 23, after Jesus explained what's going to happen, Peter said, "No way, Lord. This isn't going to happen to you." Look what Jesus said to the same guy. "Get behind me, Satan." So here's the same guy. One time he spoke something, and Jesus says, "That didn't come from you, it came from God." Several verses later, this is the same guy. He spoke something, and Jesus said, "That didn't come from you, that came from Satan." Same person. How does that happen? So where does, and that comes to, that's where my title is this morning. Where are these things coming from? Are things coming from God, or are things coming from Satan? This was Peter. Peter was a disciple. Not only was he one of the 12, he was one of the inner three. He was a fisherman. This is the guy that walked on water. It's also the guy that denied Jesus three times. This is the guy in Acts 2 that when he preached, 3,000 people came to know Christ in one day. It's all this same guy, but yet he has different things being spoken out of his mouth. Some is coming from God, and some is coming from Satan. So where are the things coming from that we say? There's obviously two different voices that can speak to us, because it does to Peter, it did to Peter, and it does to us as well. There's two voices that we can hear. The one is God's and the other is Satan. So how do we know which voice is which? Like, do you ever get confused? You're hearing voices, you're seeing, you know, your thoughts, you're being bombarded with thoughts, and you don't know, is this from God or is this from Satan? Or maybe you don't even ask. But let's look at this a little bit this morning. How do we know, is it from Satan, or how do we know, is this from God? Because we're all thinking thoughts all the time. Does God speak to you? Does God ever speak to you? Does Satan ever speak to you? And if you can't answer that in your mind, I'm going to answer it for you. They both want to speak to you. Very much. So there is a battle in the mind. Your mind is a battlefield. God wants to speak into that thing. Satan wants to speak into that thing. And so how do you, as a controller of your mind, know what to do with all this stuff? We know that God is sovereign. And so God can do things however he wants to. He can speak to you in all different ways. There's no doubt in my mind. But we're specifically going to be looking at him speaking to our mind this morning. But I know in God's sovereignty, he can speak through creation, through circumstances, through all different kinds of ways. Satan can as well, but I think God has much more advantage of ideas and ways that he can speak to you. But Satan is very subtle. Satan is very sly. I think we know that. And in Genesis chapter 3, we have Satan coming to Eve. God had already spoken to Adam. They knew what they were supposed to do. God spoke first. And here comes Eve very slyly. Here comes Satan very slyly. And he speaks to Eve through a question. It wasn't a statement. It was a question. And Satan uses a question. Did God really say that? See, God spoke first. And Satan says, did God, is that really what he said? And so again, here Eve has her mind, and it's a battleground. Eve can choose, am I going to really believe what God said and stand on that? Or this voice that's coming from Satan, am I going to give a little bit of room for that to sink into my mind? Which obviously we know what happened. She did. Satan's voice, she was spoken to. She agreed to Satan's voice, and then we know what happened, and then you know the outcome. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says this. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be somehow led astray from your sincere and pure devotion for Christ. He's nailing it here to the Corinthians. Paul is saying, make sure that your minds, he uses the word minds. The word minds is used in the different translations that I looked at, uses the same words. It says, just like Eve was deceived, your minds may be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion. So he's recognizing that your mind is something that's very important, and your mind can lead you astray if you're not careful. So let's check out 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 says this. The God of this age, talking about Satan, has blinded the what of the unbelievers? The minds. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, that they cannot see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. So here we have another verse. This again is Paul's writing to the Corinthians, but he's recognizing the importance of your mind. That Satan can speak to that thing, and when you allow it and when you listen to that voice, it can lead you astray. Because he says there, he completely, not just leads you astray, but he completely blinds them. Blinds the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel. And 1 Peter 5:8 in the ESV says, you know, be sober, be vigilant. It uses the word be sober-minded. Be sober-minded, because your adversary, the devil, he's out there looking, he's seeking who he can devour. I think this mind thing is a big thing that Satan uses, because he knows if he can get into this mind thing, he can control you. And also 2 Corinthians 11, 4. There's lots of verses in Scripture, but we're going to keep moving through this here. 2 Corinthians 11, 4 talks about Satan being, he disguises himself as an angel of light. And he can do that, but how do we know if this is Satan or not? These words that are coming to you, do you even ever do anything with them? Like, do you really, your thoughts, do you really think of what you're thinking? What's feeding your mind? So we know that Satan's a liar. We know that he is a father of lies. We know that Satan wants to destroy you. He doesn't have any good plans for you. He not only wants to destroy you, he wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your church. Satan is a destroyer. And he's a liar. So the things that he gives you, that he puts into your mind, that he speaks to you, are not good. It's to destroy you. He wants to get rid of you. So his things that he says are not good. They're not for your good. He wants to get rid of you. I believe one of the main things that Satan wants to do is to destroy you. And so if he can use this mind that you have and he can speak into that thing, and he knows that I can destroy this person by speaking into mine, guess what? He's going to do it. Now, how about the other thing? Okay, so we talked about Satan talking to you. Now, we obviously know as well that God wants to talk to you. And God wants to speak to you. Now, we have God as being God. He is sovereign. He sees everything. He sees the whole picture. He's not only God, but he's your Father. And he cares for you. He not only cares for you, he's your Creator. This is your Heavenly Father who made you. He built you. He gave you exactly what you need. He has a purpose. And his purpose is not to destroy you. We're looking at completely the opposite here from what Satan wants to do. As much as Satan wants to destroy and get rid of you and hurt you and in the end kill you, God says, I have plans for you. I want you to prosper. I'm going to give you a hope. I'm going to give you a future. You are special. You are beautiful. You are unique. God wants to speak as well. And God cares for you with an everlasting love. And when God speaks and God takes care of you, we were talking about the embrace earlier when I started. But the love that God has for you, the everlasting love, is, I don't think any of us can explain it, how much love is there and the beauty of experiencing that. Because John 3:16 obviously says, God loves you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we have two different people here. On this battleground, your mind is being a battleground 24/7, 365. I think as long as we have breath, our mind is a battleground. And there's voices being spoken into it. But I want us to start asking the question, when we're thinking about what we're thinking, where did that come from? Is it from God? Should I be agreeing to it? Or is it from Satan? Does it need to be disregarded? Because it happens in people. It happened to Peter very clearly. And it happens to us. We're not exempt from this. This is a reality for us. All of us have a mind, and it is a battleground. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's what it is. But it's up to us to choose on where we allow our minds to go this morning. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end of it leads to death. Really? So Proverbs say there's ways that seem right to a man, but in the end it's fatal. Well, we don't want to just end up in fatality, but yet we may be thinking we're going the right way, because that's what this verse is saying. It may seem right to you, but if it's not from God, it's going to end up fatal. So how do we know? Is this from God or is it not from God? How do we line this stuff up? How do we work through this stuff? Sometimes it's very obvious. Sometimes I think there's things in our life that we know God very clearly speaks, and we know things that Satan very clearly speaks. But sometimes we're not sure. I'm being honest. Sometimes there's some things like, I don't know if this is from God or is it not from God. So let's look at some things that I'm going to say that just some ways to know, to test it. Okay, so I'm going to put that word out there. We need to test our thoughts. You don't know what it is, let's test it. Number one, how do you test it? I'm going to say, and this isn't in order. There's all different ways, things. I'm just going to get several here. I'm sure there's lots more ways that you can test what's in your mind. But the one that I have for the first one, is it true? Is it true? See, God always speaks truth. God will never speak a lie. So if it's not true, it's not from God. Scripture is truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. So just ask that question, is it true? If it's true, God speaks only truth. If it's not true, it's from Satan, because Satan is a liar. John 8:44 says, there's no truth in Satan. That's what John 8:44 says. So is it true? Number two, a question that I would ask, does it agree or does it contradict the Bible? Because this word is God's word, and this word is true. So if there's something in your life that contradicts what this says, it's not of God. God won't speak anything to you that contradicts this. So take that thought. If it aligns with Scripture, God speaks only things that align with Scripture. If it contradicts this, it's of the devil. It's that simple. For example, Matthew 22. Real quick, an example. Matthew 22. It talks about, actually, I'll just quick read that verse right from Scripture. So we're talking about Scripture. We'll read some Scripture. Matthew 22. 15 to 22 says this. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words, talking about Jesus. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, this is Jesus. Teacher, we know a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to what they are. Tell us then, Jesus, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus, knowing their evil intent, he said, you hypocrites! Why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he said, whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. And he said, give to Caesar what is due Caesar, give to God what is due God. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Just one example here, right? Coming into a new year. Taxes. There may be something coming into your mind that's like, you know what? I just don't feel like paying my taxes this year. I don't have money. My year last year was awful. I'm not going to pay my taxes this year. Listen, that is not from God, because it contradicts what Jesus says. Jesus says, pay your taxes. And so the thought of you not paying your taxes isn't a thought from God, because it contradicts Scripture. See what I mean here? That's just an example. So if it contradicts Scripture, it's not from God. God will always speak truth, and it's going to line up with the Word of God. The Bible also says, love your enemies and bless those that curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Ouch! Really? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're supposed to bless those that hurt us. We're supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us. And do good to those that do wrong to us. And so I'm guessing probably every one of us here have been wronged in one way or another, or we've been hurt somewhere, somehow, by people, by circumstances. It just hurt. Maybe someone cheated on you. I don't know. There could be so many things, but I'm sure there's probably something in our life to where we can relate to somebody hurting us. And if your thought is to hurt them back or to repay them for what they did, that thought is not of God, because it doesn't line up with Scripture. Scripture says, bless those that persecute you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. So if you want to get payback that person of what he did for to you, that thought didn't come from God. The Bible says husbands are to love your wives. I'm just picking out several here because of time. Sometimes as a husband, that seems easy and awesome, and it is. But if there's a situation in your life, husbands, to where you want to do something, whether your wife did something, didn't do something, if there's something, a thought comes into your mind that you want to do something to your wife that hurts her, and it's not love, that thought didn't come from God. Because the Bible says, husbands, you're supposed to love your wives. Wives, if there's, on the flip side, if there's ever a time to where you don't want to submit to your husband, maybe your husband did something and you don't like it, and the thought comes into your mind, I don't want to do what he wants me to do. I'm not going to submit to him because he did that. I'm not going to submit to him. That thought didn't come from God. Husbands, we're supposed to love. Wives, you're supposed to submit. That's Scripture. If it doesn't line up with that, it's not from God. So who's telling you this? Where are these thoughts coming from is what I want to get at this morning, that we start thinking about our thoughts. James chapter 3, 13 to 18. This is actually a very interesting scripture. He talks about two kinds of wisdom here. He starts out the chapter here by taming the tongue and how powerful your tongue is. And it is. Our tongue is incredibly powerful. Excuse me. Because the tongue is what we speak. And when we say things, it can either lift up, it can build bridges, or it can build walls, or it can tear stuff down. Our tongue is super important. But then he comes in verse 13. He says, there's two kinds of wisdom, James says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Check out what he says in verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and it's of the devil. For where envy and selfish ambition are, there you find disorder and evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, it's pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy, it's good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Man, he nails it here. He just lays it out. It's just something he lays out here. He says, if there's bitterness, if there's envy, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, so he's saying if there's envy, if there's a selfish ambition in your heart, it's not of God. He says it comes straight from the devil. And so that thought, when you grab that thought and think about that thought, and you ask the question, where did this come from? If there's envy in it, if there's selfish ambition in it, it's not of God. James says it's of the devil. But then he goes on and says some things that are of God. And I love it. It's a list of stuff here. He says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. I love that word pure. If there's thoughts that come into your mind that you're thinking and they are pure, cha-ching, it's from God. Because God is pure and his words are pure. The next one he says, peace loving. Peace and love. If there's a thought that you're testing and it has lots of peace in it and it has love in it, it's from God. Submissive. I'm going to run through here. I'm not going to break all these down, but you could really spend time on breaking these down. Submission, he says, is also in this list. Full of mercy. If that thing is full of mercy, it's from heaven, from God. Good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemakers. All those things that he names them here, those come from God. Okay, so there's a lot of things that when just take it and test it. And this is just, I'm just giving you a small list here this morning of things that are from God or things that are from Satan. So if we have thoughts that are, let me break one down. I got ahead of myself a little bit. Back up a little bit in verse 13 there about selfishness and envy. I'm going to put this in as well. If that thing has criticalness in it, if there's something in there that's critical about the other person, if it's harsh, if it wants to hurt another person, if it's gossip, that gossip word came up several times. Ernie, I think you brought it up. And several times recently up here about how bad gossip is. If there's gossip involved in it, it doesn't come from God. That stuff doesn't come from God. Proverbs 11 opens up a verse about dishonest scales are horrible. It's an abomination to God. Dishonesty, a thought of being dishonest, that thought came straight from Satan. Because the Bible says dishonesty is an abomination to God. He hates it. But God's never going to tell you to be dishonest. This list in verse 17, if I could wrap it up, it finds beauty in others. Now the thing is, the harder thing is the first half, it's easy to be critical. It's not hard to be critical. It's not hard to talk about other people. It seems like that just kind of comes natural. Remember, we are in a fleshly body. But it doesn't, you know, just talking about someone comes pretty easy. Trying to find the good in somebody, it takes a little more work. I'm going to use the word mature. I think it takes some maturity to get to the point to where you start seeing the good in other people and you want to bless other people. And, you want to empower them. That's not the easiest thing to do. I don't think that just comes naturally. For the most part. Maybe for some of you it does. For me, not as much. The just being critical, being negative. If I don't do any work, it seems that stuff just kind of comes in. But I need to just grab those thoughts and say, where is this coming from? And get rid of it if it's from Satan. Just a few more things. John 15:3 says this. It says, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. So he makes it very clear that I speak words and you become clean through the words that I speak. So that tells me this is the word of God. And when I read the word of God, when I look at the word of God, when I meditate on the word of God, it brings cleaning. It brings cleansing. Because it says, you're now, Jesus, he says, you're clean now through the word that I spoke unto you. I believe that's for us today as well. As we dig into the word, as we read the word, as we meditate on the word, that brings cleansing. And the cleaner we are, I think the easier it's going to be to have answers for our thoughts on where did this thought come from. The more time we spend in God's word, I think the more accurate and the more real truth is going to become to us. Because God speaks through his word. And so the question I want to ask, another question I'm going to ask this morning is, how does God speak to you most? For me, it has been through this word. When I was reading this word, this is my personal experience, but I believe this is how it is. The more we read and meditate and study this word, the more we hear from God. I believe that. You have someone that comes in and says, I would love to hear from God. I just don't hear from God. The question I would have, are you reading the word of God? How do you expect to hear from God if you're not reading the word of God? Because God speaks through his word. And there have been times in my life, some very, I call them dynamic revelations. Not revelations, that's not the right word. Dynamic moments where God clearly spoke to me and said to do something, and it was when I was reading the Word of God. Does God work outside of it? Absolutely. Can God speak through circumstances? Absolutely. I am not putting that down. God speaks through all kinds of things. But I do know very clearly he speaks through this Word. I think the more you study it, the more you read it, the more you're going to hear from God. If you say you're not hearing from God, I'm going to ask you, are you reading Scripture? Don't expect to hear from God if you're not reading his word. So, just wrapping this up here. Let me add one more thing, because this is a big thing to me, and in just discerning, where does this come from? Where does the thought come from? Does it come from Satan? Does it come from God? Is Colossians 3:15 says this. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, after the resurrection, when Jesus came back and he met his disciples, do you know the first words that he told them? He came back and he said, peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, I'm giving. God brings peace. And there's sometimes everything is lined up, everything can look right, everything can just be perfect, and you think this is the way to go, but you don't have peace about it. Possible it's not of God, because God brings peace. God's things bring peace. And maybe it can be the other way. Maybe some things just aren't lined up and you don't really feel like, I mean, from your perspective it looks like chaos, but you sense God is telling you to do it and you have peace about it, then go for it. Peace is huge. For me, it is. That's just several things. There's all kinds of other things, places we could go with this message this morning. But just in wrapping this up here, I just want us to start grabbing our thoughts and thinking about what we're thinking and asking the question, where did this come from? Because it is reality for us. We have different people speaking into our minds. It's a battleground. And so ask yourselves the question, is it true? Does it line up with Scripture or does it contradict Scripture? Is it out of envy or is it out of selfishness? Is it loving or does it have hate in it? Is it submissive? Does it want to bring peace or does it want to destroy it? Is it critical or does it build up? Does this thought want to build a bridge or build a wall? Unity is another one that's huge in Scripture. God brings unity. He talks lots about unity in Scripture. Satan wants to destroy it. You could go on and on, but I'm going to stop with those thoughts. And I just want to bless you for listening. And I'm going to pray that God just gives us the ability to start thinking about our thoughts and asking where they come from and start agreeing and living the thoughts that only come from our Heavenly Father, ones that are true, ones that are just, ones that are pure, ones that are life-giving, ones that want to bring life versus, you know, the things that Satan wants to bring that want to destroy you, tear you down. His goal is fatality. I mean, he just wants to, is death. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. I want to thank you for truth. I want to thank you for Scripture. Father, I thank you that you as our Heavenly Father, you as our Creator, you as our Abba Father, you as the person that loves us with an everlasting love, you want to speak to us. But Father, we also recognize this morning that Satan wants to speak to us in this battleground of our mind. So Lord, I'm asking this morning that each one of us, you would give us more discernment and more wisdom in taking our thoughts captive. The Bible talks about taking our thoughts captive. And looking at them and recognizing, asking the question, where does this come from? Is it coming from God? Or is it coming from Satan? And Lord, that we would start embracing your truth, your word, your Scripture, things your way for your glory. And God, that out of that, out of starting to make conscious choices and agreeing with your words and dispelling the words of Satan, God, that we would become a force for your glory and for the kingdom of God. So I speak a blessing on each person that's here. Thank you for each person. Bless you, Lord, and say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you for listening. Thanks for being here. Hang on, guys.
Sorry, guys, not over yet. So thanks, Dale, for your message this morning. Appreciate that. It's very good. It's a reminder.